For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 1045 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 7:07 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, who welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here is who we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday, beginning at 7 a.m., we're joined by the big guy, Sasquatch, the Yeti, 6'6", 262 pounds, 32 pounds. 232.
232.
I remember when you were 282.
104 kilograms.
104 kilograms of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, certified master inspector from Home Pro Inspections. You've seen me on HGTV as the house detective, and possibly about town, if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you. Your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. 340-1045, 340-1045. And if you're calling from Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's where Residential Warranty Systems is based. You know, our 18-month warranty?
Yes, yes.
So I'm going up and spend 3 or 4 days next week with them.
Oh, good.
Bringing more great things to the local real estate market. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you're calling from Indianapolis, 904-340-1045. Sasquatch, large man.
Yes.
Three things.
Three small things.
On my mind.
Small mind.
They are...
Yes.
Hurricane Expo.
Hurricane Expo, okay.
Open houses.
And?
Olive oil.
Drum roll on the olive oil. Okay, we talked about that last week.
Well.
Is that good for lubricating equipment, too?
We'll get there in a moment.
Okay, all right.
Hurricane Expo. Today, I'm proud to say, is the Hurricane Expo at the Morocco Shrine Auditorium over there on St. John's Bluff, beginning at 9 until 2. You will be there, Larry O'Neill. I will be there, Wally Conway, along with Mike Barish, all the weather geniuses, and a host of opportunities to learn in various sessions, as well as a bunch of great vendors of all those things you may need to prepare for, indoor, and recover from hurricane season. Everything from generators to roofing to you name it, wind mitigation inspections. And trimming your darn trees.
Okay.
Anyway, looking forward to seeing you over there. Not just you, Larry, but you.
Okay.
You in the communal sense.
Okay, communal.
And it's free, which is really cool.
Free. So I know free. You love that word free.
I do.
You know how to spell that one, I know.
With capital letters every time.
Yes.
So the Hurricane Expo, St. John's Bluff, 9 to 2. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to seeing you there.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah.
Open houses. It is very common in the real estate sales world that when a home comes onto the market, they'll have an open house. That's a nice thing. You can go meet a nice agent and kind of sniff them and see if you like them. You can look at that house.
Sniffing agents?
Well, yeah.
I think you need to change that vernacular.
Well, no. It's an important relationship between a buyer,
sniffing,
seller, and their agent.
Like two dogs meeting in the street?
No, it's not like that.
Okay. The change of vernacular.
Anyway.
Okay, go ahead.
Open houses.
Yeah.
There is a trend, an emerging trend here in the greater Jacksonville area, meaning the WOKV listing area, that homes, as they go on the market, are pre-inspected and warranty protected.
Okay.
So we've got several of those open this weekend. You can see that on my Facebook page, the ones that I know of. There are many more. But we've discovered the homes that are inspected, when they go on the market, sell in less time and for more money, which is a big win. And it's a big win for the home buyer because it saves them really more than $1,000. It's already inspected. It's already warranted, 5-year roof protection, 18 months. So as you're perusing your open houses, or if you're a real estate agent sitting in an open house, it's emerging. It's
all right.
Pretty cool.
Okay.
Lastly is olive oil.
And olive oil. We were talking about olive oil.
We spoke about
week.
It and you were asking. I've brought for you today.
Oh wow. A
bottle.
A gift. Yes. Oh my God.
I want to share this. Though.
Okay.
This is from Florida Olive Farms and Mill.
Really?
Yeah. These olives are grown in Florida. It's out toward the panhandle, toward Tallahassee. This is called the Brothers Blend American Extra Virgin Olive Oil, and it's the first cold press.
First cold press. Well, so thank you, sir.
That's for you. There you go.
I was reading about olive oil, you know, and I went and bought some olive oil because it says it's good for you.
Olive oil.
And we had a large discussion about olive oil.
Good olive oil is good for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's because it's, you know, I was reading that you should drink have a liter a week, you know. It's
That might be excessive. Here's what we know. The kind of big brand industrial olive oil is the
last of the press.
It's not only that. It's the stuff that no reasonable Italian or no even reasonable Portuguese person.
They use it on their gear shifts on their automobiles.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. When you, I don't want to pick on any particular brand, but those big industrial kind of brands, that's the olive oil that no one in its native country would possibly consume.
Yeah. I got some olive oil the other day, and I was trying to look at it. I said, which is the best olive oil? I was kind of confused, and I bought
and
some.
Olive oil.
It was so bitter. It was so bitter when I tried to let me take a couple teaspoons.
It's all chemically processed. It's not. The health benefits that they talk about aren't really there in industrial olive oil. So you want good quality fresh olive oil.
You want it pressed and then consumed.
Exactly.
You're telling they store it sometimes for, you know, a little bit of time.
I've got an olive oil guy.
Yeah.
He's called the Olive Oil Hunter.
Yes.
OliveOilHunter.com, I think, is his website. And this guy travels all over the world and chases the olive harvesting season and small batch stuff. It's almost like people that do
like
small
chase hurricanes,
bourbon.
You know what I mean? Tornado chasers, storm chasers. He's an olive oil press chaser.
Yep. So once a quarter, he sends me 3 bottles of olive oil from different small batch farms.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time it arrives at my home, it's less than 90 days old. And to be truththful, that one's more than 90 days old.
Hey, well, that's all right. But I was reading some interesting information. They said that people who drank olive oil, they did a test used a lot of olive oil, actually fared better than people who ate a Mediterranean diet, you know, the Mediterranean low, you know, whatever diet it was.
Well, in fairness, the Mediterranean cultures are heavily steeped in olive oil.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, good for your skin, good for your body.
In my own home,
we use
organic coconut oil.
Yep.
Cooking a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And then olive oil, rarely do we cook in because it changes the flavor, but we use a lot of it.
Well, you could grow. You can get like 4 or 5 trees planted out. It's not sunny, and you could press your own olive oil. How about that?
It's not that complicated.
It's a little bit of a complicated process.
I'm not going to do that. But you can visit that farm out there toward the panhandle. It's probably a 3 or 4 hour drive out there.
Where is it at?
Out toward Tallahassee. I don't remember.
Wow, amazing.
Look on the bottle.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even know they harvest olive oil in the state of Florida.
Well, you know, I'm
small
I'm
farm.
Quite the landscape agricultural guy these days.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's on your mind?
Well, on my mind is hot and humid, you know, but you got to keep things looking good. And we had some little issues with some trees. There is some types of bacteria that are getting on hollies. And once they get this bacteria, it forms a witch's broom. It started in Orlando. And, you know, this bacteria, when you get a bacterial disease in a tree, or any other plant, it's just counted off as a dead plant because just like human beings, there's some ideas that, you know, a lot of times people forget that, you know, when they're dealing with plants, not everything can be taken care of, you know. So if you see a holly that's struggling and it has like what a witch's broom looks like, it's like little mounds on the leaves of tiny, tiny branches, tiny, tiny, small growth, dwarf leaves. This would be an indication if you have some type of bacterial disease in that plant. It is popping up in our area. And so the best thing for remedy for that is, you know, of course, you want to make sure it, in fact, does have that and is removal. So it attacks Placa holly. It can attack Foster. There's a group of hollies it can damage. So you keep your eyes out. Keep your eyes peeled for that.
They are peeled.
Peeled, you know. Then also, you know, as we're mowing during the season, you know, I've noticed a lot of people have not sharpened their blades on their lawnmowers. Then if you can make sure the blade is sharp, the thatching component or the – not that anti-thatching, which makes the compost, you know, or cuts up the mulching the grass better is going to be working much better because you won't get those large blades laying, you know, out right. on the grass.
Don't tear it.
Then another thing you can always do if you've got a lot of thatch, you notice you got a lot of it, and instead of raking and hurting yourself during a 99-degree day, is you want to just go get some mill organite and put that down on the lawn. And you know, two or three applications, it's cheap. It's like you go to Home Depot, it's like $9, $10.
That'll accelerate the decomposition. It
accelerates the decomposition. What you're adding to it is bacteria. And the bacteria are going to get on that, and they're going to decompose it. You're making like a miniature compost pile, and it will go away. And not only that, it's going to really enhance the viability of your soil. So these are some things you could do right now if you're getting a little bit too much that, especially if you have zoysia, you've been mowing a lot, and look down. Zoysia doesn't like a lot of thatch, but look down there and see if you've got more than half an inch. Half an inch or more is not good for the grass, okay? And the grass is loving it now. We got all this rain coming out. Everything's green, you know. But you want to remove as much as you can and keep it, you know.
So
and,
it doesn't promote fungus.
Yeah, so it doesn't promote fungus, insect growth, all those, you know, a place of insects to harbor at, and there's all the kinds of things.
Is a bit of thatch a good thing to retain some moisture?
Yeah, a little bit. But the problem is when you get more than a half an inch, it's going to start absorbing too much of the water before it perks into the soil.
Got it.
So if it rains like, you know, a little bit, then it never gets down to the root. Right, it never gets down to the root. Got of course, it. When we have 20 inches of rain in an hour, it's going to get, the ground's going to be completely saturated. And then also we're going to, you know, hurricane season. We were just talking about the Hurricane Expo. Yeah. Think about those trees that got those branches over the roof or they're rubbing on the roof. Palm trees, you know, call the branch manager, have them come out there and get those things tightened up and looking good, because there's no way 1 week before a hurricane hits you're going to get results that you want.
No, and dead branches in particular, if you have to prioritize, dead branches, number one, and then anything that can impact a window.
Window, right.
Yeah, much more significant
Let's say if the tree is, the branch is 6 to 8 inches away from the roof. You got to take it off because that wind will press down onto that branch, onto the roof structure. Yeah. And also all that water weighs down that branch, you know. So you want to make sure you go ahead and remove those that are near.
Yeah. What we encourage on the home inspection side is imagine if you were walking on the edge of your roof, if your head would hit a branch, it needs to be trimmed.
Just make
it go away.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that idea.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
It's 7:20 here at News 104.5. Very brief break, jumping right on the phones to your calls at 340-1045. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 7:25 here at News 104.5 and the Home and Garden Show. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here with me. Need him during the week, larrysgarden.com or via the telephone, 346-1970. Need me during the week, Wally Conway, gohomepro.com or via the telephone, 268-8211. It's hot outside.
Hot.
Will not be cooler for months.
November.
Ice cubes.
Ice cubes.
Ice cubes. Have you ever seen speckled ice cubes?
All the time.
That means there's funk in the water.
Yes.
The ice maker in your home, and ice makers at restaurants and convenience stores and whatnot, are some of the most funky, gnarly, filthy, disgusting things imaginable. And you get nice water or a nice soft drink or bourbon or whatever you've got, and you stick a bug part and funk-infused ice cube in it. Doesn't have to be that way. I was chatting with Mark over at Affordable Water. They have systems specifically tailored, if you need it, just to clean or purify or filter. There's many different ways to do this so that the water that goes into your ice maker makes ice cubes that are clean, that are safe, that are clear, and just enhance your life.
Yeah.
The ice maker is like the forgotten appliance in homes, restaurants, and other places.
I agree. You never think about the ice maker.
Yeah.
Next time
you're getting ready to have a nice cool drink, just get a couple of ice cubes and get a magnifying glass and take a look at those babies. And it's a tremendous source of filth and disease and funk.
Yeah, especially that
at home and in
mildew around the spigot. You know what I mean?
It's gnarly.
Right, right.
Affordable Water Jacks. Friends don't let friends use nasty ice cubes.
Right.
Let's go over to Bob in Arlington, see if we can help him with his lime trees. Welcome, Bob.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Awesome, sir. Tell us what's up.
Well, I've actually got a Meyer lemon and a Persian lime. And the first year that we got them, I think they're 1, 2, 3 years old now. The first year that we got them, they both produced some fruit. But last year and this year.
So we got a Meyer's lemon and a Persian lime, 5 years right. old. They had produced fruit, nothing this year. What are we going to do, Larry?
Well, you know, no fruit. How old are they? How old are
the five-year-old trees?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think they could be in the container for 5 years. How long they, you know? Sorry, I didn't make myself clear. How big were they when you planted them?
Well,
got about a minute.
Ground, they were probably 2.5-3 feet.
Okay, so they're probably right. Yeah, right. And they produced fruit previously?
The first year that we had them, they both produced. The second and third years, just the lemon.
Okay, now I got it. Okay. What I would do, Bob, is I would get on the fertilizer. Get on the fertilizer. Go to your local hardware center and get some Espoma citrus tone. And I would start applying that every month. And then watering. And I'd water, at least make sure it gets religious water for maybe a week and a half every month, that you're applying it. It's every other day, okay? And then just add some more fertilizer, you know, follow the directions. Add a little extra, too, because it's an organic stuff. And you should get a result in less than maybe 60 days.
Wow, every month on the fertilizer.
Every month on the fertilizer. Just get on. It's an organic kind of a bridge product where it has some organic and some, quick-acting fertilizer. I would put a generous amount on that and water it in. At least you know for a week and a half, every other day, you're going to put water on it. You know, and you're not going to rely on Mother Nature. You're not relying on the irrigation system. The irrigation system is supplemental. That you're putting that hose on there on each tree for maybe around 3 minutes and dumping about 10 gallons of water on each tree. All right?
Okay.
And then call me back.
I'll try it.
In 60 days, call me back with your success story, new flowers and buds.
Good luck with it. It's 7:30 here at News 104.5. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, then more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 340-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. 7:37, beautiful Saturday morning. Grateful that you're with us. Reminder, Hurricane Expo today. The website, if you want to get a little bit of detail on it, is jackshurricaneexpo.com. It's 9 until 2. Larry and I will both be there along with Mike Burrish and a lot of the other folks through the Cox family of news and weather support, along with everything you need to know to prepare for, endure, and recover from hurricane season. Preparation is truly the key. Looking forward to seeing you over there. Also, if you're looking for a large landscaper, I may have mentioned this to you once or twice over the last 10 years, larrysgarden.com, got the blog, video, frequently asked questions, and the phone, 346-1970, and the Home Pro side, gohomepro.com, or the phone, 268-8211. Shout out to my home inspector compadres. This today is also the monthly meeting, or NACHI, National Association of Certified Home Inspectors. All the details on that are at jacksonvillenachi.com. And they are also opening up a chapter, you may say, in Palm Coast, which is kind of cool. Yep. So really,
long drive time for you.
It's not long at all if you live in Palm Coast or Daytona.
Okay.
So we're always, you know, reaching out, trying to do more and better things. The I have a question for you.
I had a question for you.
Okay, you go first.
Okay. The what is a sago palm more closely related to? A Canary Island date, a oak tree, a pine tree, or a queen palm?
Give me the answers again, slower.
Okay. What is a sago palm more closely related to? A Canary Island date palm?
No.
A oak tree, a pine tree, or a queen palm?
Pine tree.
Yes, okay. Very good. You got that one right. Did you know that a sago is more closely related to a pine tree than a palm?
You're pretty bummed I got that, aren't you?
No, I've told you before. I think you remembered. Okay. How could you remember the only thing you remember? No. But, you know, it's amazing about, you know, sagos, where you really can see the differences when we have some cardboard palms, which are beautiful tropical plants. So they're in the cycad family. And if you let a very low growing palm that does well in our area, and it's really underused, and you like that, I'm talking about it only gets maybe around 2 to 3, 4 foot over a mature specimen. And they have that beautiful brown underside of the leaf, kind of like a magnolia, as a cardboard palm. And even though they frosted to the ground, you know, burned to the ground, the leaves burned, and they come right back. They came right back, new leaves. It's June, and they got new leaves. Or new fronds on it, whatever you want to call them, coming out, and they're looking good. But if you a real palm had done that, you know, because I was, you know, looking at them, you know, examining them, if a real palm had happened to a real palm, it would have been dead. Because they're not really related. A palm tree and a cycad. They just because
sago
they have
palm.
Similar leaves. That's the only thing.
I have a thought for you on the sago palm.
Yes.
The sago palm is the Corian countertop of the landscape world.
Oh, the Corian calendar.
Yeah, they were very trendy. They were very popular in the 80s, and their time has come and gone. At our office complex, we're in the process of being done with them. We've had them for 10 years, and there's 40 of them. There's one in front of each
They're problematic,
door.
But if you know how to treat them, this is what if you have sago.
It's too much trouble. Is each one dies now. It's the one in my office was whacked out of the ground, pulled out of the ground this week. I said, we're done with it. We're transitioning to another tree.
Well, yeah, another tree is good, but the key thing if you have sagos and you really want to treat them and keep them is that you got to treat the soil with some type of insecticide because they're going to get cycad scale in the Asiatic scale. It's going to be in the ground and on the tree. So the spraying them is just like an act of futility, you know, trying to stop a dike from leaking with your finger when you got a hole of a small Volkswagen coming through there. But it's treating with Telstar is a great way to do it. Systemic treatment, which mitocoprin is another one that kills the scale, kills the young ones, doesn't allow them to reproduce because it's 1 year of protection. So once you clean them up, they're good. They're good. But and nevertheless, you know, there is a place for cycads or for sago palms, but they are gone by the wayside pretty much.
Old news.
They were so valuable at one time. They were just the ridiculous amount of money, and now we're chopping down.
They're Korean countertops. I'm
chopping them down, right and left. You know, I mean, because they're just nothing but problems on the maintenance.
Yep. Let's go up to Southeast Georgia, check in with Tim, see if we can help him with his pears. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, Tim.
Morning. How y'all doing?
Great. Where in Georgia are you?
Brunswick.
Welcome.
Brunswick. Okay.
I've got two mature pear trees. They're about the size of a tennis ball.
Yes.
Last year they started getting little hairs on the fruit when the fruit would first come out, and it gets a red fuzz on it. I was trying to figure out what it was and what I could do about it.
A spot or all over?
All over.
A red?
On just the fruit. Now, not the
Yeah. It sounds like it's some type of fungus, but I'm not quite completely sure on this one because I don't really have a photo, so I wanted to look at a photo, make sure we got it. We were talking this, you know, understanding the same thing. What I would get is M45 dithane as a fungicide, and spray the fruit in the tree. It's good to eat after 10 days. It's a fungicide that's allowed on things you consume. And so you want to make sure you spray once, spray again, and then maybe another time if you can. But if you've had that problem, a lot of times when you have problems that reoccur is that the disease could overwinter in the leaves. You know, the dead leaves that drop. So raking up the leaves, spraying the ground in the fall, and spraying early in the spring, spraying the trunk, spraying the tree, and you should clean up the problem. Because just spraying the fruit right now is going to, you know, prevent it from occurring, but it's not going to end the cycle of it. So you got to take care of sanitary steps, you know, raking up, spraying the trunk, spraying the branches. Especially in the spring, and then this time when it starts to present itself. Let's say if it starts to present itself right now, you want to backtrack around 30 days and start your spraying cycle then. So once you break that life cycle, then you should be good from then on. All right? M45 dithane. It's not commonly. You can get it at any horticultural store, though. All right,
sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Over to Dan in Mandarin, see if we can help him solve his dead grass around the oak tree problem. Dan, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Hey, Wally, how you doing? Larry, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Dan, I got to tell you, you sent me a picture of this, and I can't find it. So you're going to have to do a great job of describing it.
Oh, okay, I'll do that. I've got a tree in my front yard on the outer circumference of the tree itself. There's a ring of, it looks like dead grass. It's turned brown. Right in the middle of the yard. I don't have a clue what's causing that. It's on the outer edge of the roots, obviously, but what the heck causes this kind of thing?
Is that a band, circular band that's dead?
Right. It's all the way around the tree.
But then close to the tree, it's green?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's about a foot-wide band all the way around the outside.
Did you put anything on the tree that would have dripped down from the drip edge?
No.
Drip line?
That's what I was thinking. Have you sprayed the tree with anything?
No, I haven't.
Okay. A foot-wide band all the way around the tree. That's definitely mechanical. You know, it's not a disease. It's something occurred, the lawn care, something happened. Because when you have a disease or an insect, it usually is not that, you know, symmetrical. It starts on one side and moves around. So something happened mechanically, you know, whether the guy who was spraying your lawn walked around the tree a couple times, no telling. Not blaming him, but if you can send a picture to me at 346-1970. Send a photo and let me look at it.
All right, we'll do.
And then I can answer you back.
Can you text to that number?
Yeah, you can text pictures.
I didn't know that. I'll start texting you stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. okay.
342?
346-1970. That helps me look at it and maybe get a better evaluation for you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
Do you have that picture with you now, Dan? Text it now, and he'll have it, and we can talk about it.
I've got it on my computer here. I'll bring it up and send it to you.
Yeah.
Good job.
Okay.
Appreciate you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye, sir. Sometimes there's just anomalies.
No, yeah, the anomalies now, they're just things, unusual things can happen, you know. Just
that's what an anomaly is, an unusual thing that happens.
Unexplainable, you know what I mean? It's not. No, they're explainable. Anomaly is like some unexplainable. You can't explain the event.
You sure about that?
Yeah, yes, I'm positive.
Now you're an English major.
Yes, I am. One of my many, except I can't spell worth a darn. Okay. But a lot of times, you know, it's a science. You know, you figure it out sooner or later. There's an occurrence or an event that could have happened. You know, the guy with putting down the fungicide or the fertilizer could have walked around twice around the tree or three times around the tree, making sure he's following the drip. He wanted close proximity, but he didn't want to get close to the tree, so he set the drip line as his guideline, walked around a couple times.
Yeah, we get into that when we're troubleshooting leaks or stains or smells. You just sit there and stare at it. I was with a really fine gentleman this week who has a house in Arlington.
Yes.
Made in the 50s, mid-century modern, really neat house. Wood parquet floors, immensely popular in the 50s, not so popular anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a stain in the hallway. And they had
just all of a sudden came a stain, a wooden stain. A stain
right.
Of wood.
And he's the original owner of the home. He's been there like 50 years.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Nice fellow. Anyway, so there's a stain in the hallway, and it's a up against a baseboard. And on the other side of the baseboard is a bathroom. Yeah. And on the other side of the baseboard is also a shared wall with a kitchen. So, you know, your first thought is, man, it's got to be plumbing related.
Uh-huh.
So they had a plumber come out and couldn't find anything supply-wise, had a leak detection company come out, couldn't find anything in that direction. So he and I spent some time on it this week. And, man, you just sit and you stare and you sit and you stare. And you go, you know, there's two things you do when you're troubleshooting. And it's the same in a landscape. You say, okay, what are the things that it isn't?
Right.
And then you sit and you just start hypothesizing every imaginable source of moisture and run it down, track it down. And our best guess at this point, oh, and it came up, you didn't notice it till 6 or 8 months ago.
Right.
So then you back up in the clock and say, what's going on there? And you just look everywhere. So we've narrowed it down, we believe, to one of three things. And sometimes
one of three things, what
one
is
of
that?
Three. Up on the roof, a low slope roof, found a piece of flashing at the through roof vent that was lifted up about an inch.
Mm-hmm.
I go, okay. And that was in an area where it was close enough to the drop spot where if water got in there, you know, once it hits a rafter, hits a wire, hits a pipe, hits whatever, it can go anywhere and get on top of a wall ledge and roll along the wall. So that was one. So he's fixing that. Ideally, he's got it done already. So we're going to remove that from the mix. Only at times of heavy driven rain. The other was, and we're going back toward Irma on some of this.
Mm-hmm.
An anomaly occurred during Irma, not to be reasonably replicated. So wind-driven rain. So we remove the roof issue. And the only two things that remain are a crack in the slab that when there's intense amounts of rain, it's percolating up. I don't think it's that. And then the last one was a clog in the drain line that only manifests itself in periods of high rain and high water usage.
Right.
And these old cast iron pipes often leak. So if we have immensely...
When they get like filled. When they get filled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you have a clog, that's what lets it fill.
Right, right.
So we're working through that. And it's really rare that it takes this much patience. But we've decided we're going to look at it and think about it for 90 days. And we have we're using a poor man's moisture meter for continual monitoring. You know about a poor man's moisture meter?
A paper towel.
Yeah, toilet paper is even more absorbent. So we're watching it. So much like your landscape thing. Usually, 99 times out of 100, you can get it instantly. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you just got to go. All right, this is going to take eliminating and doing a little bit of a process.
Right.
So.
Right.
It's 7:52 here at News 104.5. Brief break, jumping right back to you at 340-1045. 57 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden. And from the area of the Intracoastal is Trey.
Trey.
With a question on pears. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, Trey.
Hey, guys. Hey, I didn't mean to go on the air, but I just, you know, that gentleman that called about his pears.
Yes.
There wasn't really an answer for him, but he was still told to spray some stuff on it.
M45.
And, yeah, so, you know, I just, after doing some quick hasty research, it turns out quite a few people have that issue in our part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently what's going on is people are not even putting these pear scions on the pear rootstock. It's more likely a hybrid of a quince or quince is in there somewhere, completely edible, and the fuzz washes off with just a little bit of abrasive kind of rubbing.
I've never had on any pears that I had. And he didn't say he had it previously before on any crops. He just said he had it just, I think, two years in a row.
Time.
He all of a sudden it appeared. He says he had on his previous crops, he never had it before.
Okay.
So that would be that's what made me a little confused. If it was that case, he'd have always had it.
So, thanks a bunch, Trey.
Thanks. That's a good thought, though, Trey. I love the interaction. Thank you, sir.
7:58. Grateful that you were with us. Jack's Hurricane Expo today, 9 till 2, and use your turn signal on the way out to the expo. Have a beautiful day.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.